Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Quentin Henny, president and chairman of Novo Resources. Novo is traded now on the TSX, a big board under the symbol NVO, and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. Now, Quentin, I wanted to bring you on in the new year to address some of the questions that have come in really just in the last about week and a half. But before we get into some of those questions, can you give us just a broad, high-level overview now that we are in the new year of what's going on with the company?
Yeah, look, that's a very good place to start. We've been working very hard, very diligently, even over the holidays. The guys, we have, I think, 120 people on site right now. Mining has begun. We mobilized fleets up there right before Christmas. We had an update, showed some pictures, so people can see what kind of equipment we're using. But mining is underway. Grade control drilling's going full on. The mill preparations, like the refurbing the mill, is nearing completion. Basically, everything's on track within budget. We did have a 500-year flood event, which was a bit of a shocker, sometime in early December. We managed to get past that. It did delay things a little bit, but it was just momentary. Like, we're still on track. So we're very optimistic. We're on the right path here to get into production this quarter. We are imminently expecting permits for tailings disposal. That's one of the critical items, critical path items. But I don't see any problems with that right now. I think all systems are go. We're very excited. I get so excited when I have my calls with the guys in the evening. Of course, I'm stuck here in Denver, so I have to do all of my Novo work from about 4 in the afternoon till about midnight or so. But I just love having the calls with the guys and catching up on everything that's going on site. It's just wonderful having a really strong team in place like this.
All right, thanks for that update. This is going to be a big year for Novo, well, when it comes to that whole production side of things. Let's get into these questions that have come in, and just to let everybody know, if you have any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get those answered for you. Quentin, first, a couple questions that revolve around the move onto the big board, TSX. First, in what ways does this listing potentially benefit Novo in your eyes?
It's very simple. If you're on the TSX, it allows other, certain funds who have kind of a criteria, investment criteria, to invest. So it really gives us a lot more exposure to a lot bigger funds. And that's critical. We had the sale by Kirkland Lake in November of last year. By and large, those shares they were placed in funds, but there is obviously a lot more trading activity. You look at our volumes lately, they are pretty high. But this allows a lot of big funds to gobble up those shares. This week alone, I've had, I don't know how many funds I've talked to that have been big buyers here. I have one fund that's currently buying, I think, 2 million shares in the open market. So, it gives a lot of opportunity for us to get the shares into strong hands.
Follow up on that then, any consideration on moving out of the OTC markets in the U.S. to a big board there?
That is something that we've talked in concept about. It's not quite the right time to do it, but I would not discount that possibility. As we get into production, become a new mid-tier producer, I want that kind of exposure, and I think that it's just a question of timing more than anything.
Okay. Now, you even mentioned, right, this the move to the TSX does put you on the radar of a few more bigger investors, and there was a question that came in that since you are going into production soon, have you considered maybe doing a slight share rollback to get that share price up to, say, over $5 or whatever level could attract some bigger funds, some bigger investors that might have some restrictions on investing in shares that, say, are sub $5?
That's an interesting question. We have not had a discussion about a rollback at the board level or within the company at all. you know, to give above $5, look, I think we'll see that kind of appreciation very soon after we get into production. So I'm not too worried about, you know, hitting like a little mini threshold like that. That's a minor thing. You know, so I guess my answer is, let's wait to see what the share price does. I think we can easily pass five without doing something like that.
Okay, let's move into some of the exploration questions then. One being, since the gold-bearing lag gravels at Egina are both shallow and laterally extensive, are you concerned about getting approvals to disturb so much topsoil and any potential environmental effects that could come as a result?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and we recognize this early on. You know, the property, we purchased this property back in 2018, and one of the first things we did was start remediation, like cleaning up some of the historic trenching and absolute, you know, goofy nonsense that people had done before. So we've demonstrated to the mines department how we plan to reclaim this ground. You know, after it's been rooted around, you know, like trenching and stuff, we can reclaim it to its pristine state. That means stripping the topsoil, storing the topsoil, you know, off to the side while mining progresses through the gravels, then returning the gravels to site and then pushing the topsoil straight back on top, and then reseeding. You know, I mean, basically, we can return the land to its native state very quickly, and we anticipate doing that on a continuous basis in a mining scenario. If we go to a mining stage, that will be built into the overall plan. We don't want to go in, root around, you know, like rip up the joint and leave it a mess. We plan to reclaim it pretty much continuously. And that'll be part of our submission to any mine plans that we have that we submit to the mines department, is a reclamation plan that goes with it that really addresses that issue. So yes, it's something we've thought about extensively. In terms of the mechanics of it, it's very simple. You can strip and store the topsoil literally right next to the area that you're mining. The mining you can do on a continuous basis, at least in concept. We can see where we can mine it, you know, screen sort, you know, and other processing, perhaps a bit of gravity processing, but then return that material straight back to the ground and then push the topsoil straight back over the top. So, technically it's very manageable.
Okay. Well, and it sounds like you guys really have looked into this. You even mentioned you looked into this before. Well, a while ago, you have been on track for that. Other exploration questions. Are there any plans to test other lag gravels outside of the Egina project this year?
Yeah, look at other lag gravels. We see lag gravels, for example, at 49K, which is over by Karratha. We would like to test those, whether we get to it this year or not. I can't tell you exactly. I'm not sure where that falls in the scheduling, but we will, I would say within the next year and a half, we will test lag gravels beyond the immediate Egina area that we're focused right now, certainly.
Okay. And what project do you think could get quickest into production between Karratha and Egina?
That's a good question. So everybody knows, or, you know, most people that follow the story know, that we plan to go to the trial mining phase and trial sorting phase at Karratha in a few months here. So, like, we're actually gearing that project up. In terms of production, I mean, that is the goal. Like, if this test mine and test processing works for us, that is something we then think we can pretty much fast track. You know, with the caveat being permitting, but I think we can fast track it towards production. So, I guess I would tend to put a little more emphasis that we could get Karratha to production, like commercial production, quicker. That said, you know, the other thing we have at Egina, we have to, you know, carefully and patiently work with the Aboriginal groups. But that said, I think the path at Egina is also reasonably straightforward too. You know, once we get all our data back from the bulk sampling, we can start to evaluate an area to go test mining, and then lay those plans out. But I would say the test mining phase at Egina is going to be obviously a bit later than Karratha, given that we're starting Karratha here just, you know, imminently.
All right. One other question regarding exploration. Will there be any hard rock exploration targets tested this year? And maybe if you could dive into a little bit more of the balance between this hard rock.
Let's talk about this. So hard rock, we got a lot of ground, man. We got like 14,000 square kilometers. Okay, everybody knows that on the back of production, you want to have a clear pipeline of projects to explore. And we do have a lot going on over in the Pilbara or the Nulligan area around Beaton's Creek. You know, even at Beaton's Creek itself, we expect to expand that deposit. But we also talked recently about the hard rock potential elsewhere. This is the ground over, we'll call it on the Mosquito Creek side or the Millennium side of the fence. There's a lot of potential there. So, yes, we are going to have a robust hard rock exploration program there. That will be on the back of cash flow. Right now, our focus is using the cash we have to get into production, and then we will reestablish our aggressive exploration plans to do hard rock. Now, where else are we going to look at hard rock? Look, there's a lot of other things going on in the background. Everybody knows the discovery that De Grey has made up in their part of the world. This will get everybody looking at Google. Chinookitoid intrusions, these very odd magnesium-rich granite intrusions that generate those gold deposits that De Grey has, that belt goes straight over onto our ground. Okay, and you know if you think we're being lax or something, you're wrong. We've got a team evaluating that right now, and we're looking at targets like that as well. Okay, where else? Contact Creek. Virgin Creek. Those are conglomerate plays that we haven't been able to touch simply because we didn't have the bandwidth or cash. Now we do. You're going to see a lot of things pop up here soon. Cash is a wonderful thing. We will be able to start exploring and really hitting it hard.
Okay. Final question, then I will get you out of here. When it comes to actual production, when will we see the first, let's say, gold revenue or production from the company early on this year?
Look, the timeline right now, and this is very general, we've been giving guidance for the first quarter here, okay? And I think we can easily achieve that. We are waiting on the tailings disposal permit. I think that will come very shortly, just my queasy gizzard. And I think that we'll start testing out circuitry on the mill perhaps late this month. Crystal ball, perhaps we're pouring gold by mid to late February, something like that. You know, is that a hard schedule? No. Again, we're given guidance that it's first quarter of this year, and I think we'll make it come heck or high water.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Quentin. I appreciate you addressing all the questions that came in really just in the last couple weeks. And again, everybody, please keep on sending me your questions. Fleck@kereport.com. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Novo Resources. Quentin, great chatting with you again. Happy New Year, buddy, and I'm sure we'll be chatting a lot in the next few months. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Corey.